that. Okay. There. So tonight I'm going to talk about the whys and hows of forgiveness and how it relates to recovery for about half an hour or so. And we'll be welcome to be sending in questions on the chat as we go along. And then we'll have some Q&A time for like 15 minutes or so. And then at 8 o'clock, we're going to have a little breakout time where you can talk to one other woman and think out loud together just for a few minutes each way about, well, what was the really good thought I just heard? And who is really on my list? Who's on the top of my list for forgiveness in order to get some more sobriety, some more peace and serenity happening in my inside myself. And then we'll do a nice meditation on step one of the 8 steps of forgiveness so that you'll gather some strength and light, if you will, from the other women present that are all willing to do this together and kind of get started on one of your important forgiveness issues. And we'll close then with some thoughts about self-forgiveness and other ways of learning how to do this. So that's the plan. I hope you all stick around till the very last minute because it'll be juicy and it'll be great to kind of take it through the experiential part too. So I'm going to put my screen on with my slides. And on we go. As Chris said, we're titling this forgiveness, a life skill, a good health habit, and the key to inner freedom. And this is just an image that guides my understanding of what we're really all about, what we're all about in recovery, in psychology, in spirituality, in the path. We're all about becoming connected, fully connected to our best self, to feeling that connection with the higher power and the universe, to feeling love and light and self-love in our hearts, to having a sense of our personal space, being clean and happy, to feel grounded in the earth, and walking along with a lot of common sense and serenity. This is what we're going for in any of these pathways that are growth pathways. But as we all know, we sometimes look like this instead. We enter recovery, we enter therapy, we enter the crisis center in a state of, oh, what happened to me? That a lot of us feel like we've been through the wars. A lot of us have feel pretty bashed up and pretty isolated because of that. So when we get really hurt in our hearts, we close down and we don't have access to healing. We don't have resources or understanding or people to help us heal for a while. We close down. We put ourselves in a little box. We cut ourselves off from the intuition and guidance of the higher power. And it's a lonely, sad place to be. And this is what we're working with forgiving our bad stories. We all came here honestly. If you're feeling kind of banged up and screwed up, you got there honestly. Life was hard. You got damaged. You were in the wrong place with someone's hostility or toxic energy. And got hurt. So it really behooves us to kind of get on top of it by starting to understand, you know what, there's a short list of bad stories in my life. And they have caused me to feel this way. And guess what? I can heal them one by one. I can heal each one of my bad stories and restore myself so that in the end, I'm able to walk in this way. Trusting and open and soft and strong and connected. This is what we want. And this is what forgiveness gives us. It gives us ourselves back. It gives us our healed and whole and delightful, if quirky, personality. And it gives us our connection with our soul and her purposes. And it gives us quiet confidence with other people, because if you love yourself, you're able to meet other people where they're at with more confidence. So that's what we're up to. We're up to healing the bad stories so we can move forward into better stories. In the last 25 years, there's been a lot of study around forgiveness. And before 1997, it wasn't talked about in psychology. It wasn't talked about in graduate school of psychology or therapy. It wasn't talked about in seminaries. Of course, in the Christian tradition, unconditional love and forgiveness is central, as it is in most traditions, very important, but we weren't taught how. We weren't taught how to live it and how to do it. So in the last 25 years, there's been all of this science coming down from medicine and psychology around the impact of stress and toxic emotions on our health and the healing relief and greater efficacy that comes to us when we start practicing forgiveness. So of the 6,000 studies now that are kicking around, people have focused on different things, but there's a lot of agreement that the more you forgive, the more you lift out of depression and anxiety, the more you settle symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder. You get over your negative life decisions that you made that made you somewhat frightened or paranoid or turned towards substances for medication. There we go. So there's a lot of now measured mental health benefits that go along with living forgiveness. And I see it all the time in my practice. I get a lot of stories back to me anecdotally. And I'm amazed because a lot of people don't realize that some of their physical health problems are related to this issue with their dad, with their ex, with their mom, with their friend, with themselves. And they're very surprised to find that after, you know, one or two sessions with me, their condition has cleared up. Their irritable bowel syndrome has cleared up. Their neck ache has gone away. Their shoulders have relaxed. Their stomach isn't twisty and tight and upset anymore. There's a wonderful physical side benefit with processing a painful issue that's stored inside and bringing in that healing energy of the higher power. And I hear it all the time, even to the point of a few people letting me know that even though they took one tiny class with me in community education a while back or whatever, that their cancer went into remission, that they had colon cancer. I heard this from three women over the years. They had colon cancer big time, and it cleared up when they did their stories. And in the last few years, one of the chief surgeons of the American Cancer Care Centers came out and said, I absolutely believe there's a connection between resentment and cancer. I absolutely believe that forgiveness is an intervention medical people should be using to help treat cancer. So I was really glad to hear that because it's something that's been true in my, you know, hands-on practice. So it's good for us, you know, your grandma told it was good for you, your priest told you it was good for you. You have this idea it's good for you, but why? We don't want to do it. Nobody wants to do it at first. Why do we resist forgiveness? I'm sure there's a few of you out there going, ah, heck yeah, I don't want to forgive. There's something about the word forgiveness that is, it sets some people off. It sets a lot of people off until you realize, oh, I'm sick with resentment and I have to heal through forgiveness. And you, okay, kind of sometimes you come to it sort of reluctantly. So why is there this resistance? I think it's because there are some myths about forgiveness that are not true that we need to wrestle into place and understand what the truth of forgiveness is. It's for me. It's for me so I can be healthy and free. So here's some of the misunderstandings. We were told, if we were told, well, forgive and forget. And I ask you honestly, women, did that ever work? Did that ever work for any of you, for any of us ever? It doesn't work to forgive and forget. And that's because our stories are very important. And what happened to us is very important. And we need to forgive and remember. We need to forgive and get smarter and forgive and learn boundaries and forgive and trust ourselves. We can't forgive and forget. It doesn't work. Just forget. Just throw that one aside. There's the idea that, forgiveness is good, but it's so hard and it takes forever. It takes a long, long time. It takes the fullness of time. It takes decades. It doesn't. It's only hard if you don't know how to do it. And that is the truth about any life skill. That's the truth about driving a car. Before you took driver's ed lessons, you didn't know how to drive a car. It was hard. Like, oh, I can't do that. How do you do that? Well, you were taught. You were taught and you got the principles and you practiced and you became a good driver. So it's just like that. It's learning a life skill. And it does not take a long time to forgive a specific story from your life. Once you get to step one, sometimes the longest time is getting to step one, which is being willing to let it go. After that, we're talking anywhere between 40 minutes and 2 hours, and you can get over a bad story when you're ready, especially if you've already done a lot of, being with it and you're tired of it. And, it doesn't take a long, long time. Some people are afraid that if I forgive that person, I have to talk to them and I hate them. I don't want to talk to them, or I'm afraid of them. They're not safe. They're going to hurt me. You don't have to talk to them. Forgiveness is an inside job for you. It's inside your space. You can never see them the rest of your life if you choose, but you want to forgive so that they're not in your head. You want to have the healing experience for yourself so that you are whole and happy despite what somebody did. And you do not have to resume a relationship with them if you don't want to. A lot of people are convinced that, forgiveness is a good idea, but my story, oh, no. My story is really unforgivable. It's the worst. It's terrible. No, I can't forgive that. Nobody should forgive that. It's so much wrongness in it. But I've heard a lot of stories in my 30 years of workshops and private sessions with people. I've heard terrible stories, and I'm not going to tell you any of them tonight because they're terrible. But the good news is that each one of those people walked away healed from that terrible story. When they were ready, and we took it to the mat with getting all of the pain out and working through the 8 steps of forgiveness that I use, even the worst stories have resolved. And, on the news, people, whenever they feature forgiveness, or when Oprah would feature forgiveness, or somebody features forgiveness, they put the worst story ever out there, like the shooter that killed 8 children in a playground or something terrible. And then they interviewed the people that said, yes, but we're going to forgive it. And it's people are hearing these stories feel like, well, God, I could never do that. You have to be a saint to do that sort of thing. And you don't. Even the worst stories that I have sat with other people, these were ordinary people who were finally determined to be free and were able to really put that down. Many, many ordinary, brave people. And you guys see a lot of ordinary, brave people all the time in your groups. Human beings are amazing. We're amazing. We're so resilient, and we rise out of the terrible things. So those are some of the misunderstandings about it. And there are some important questions we need to make our peace with. Like, well, what is it? What is forgiveness? And why should I forgive something if it was just really darn wrong? It was really an injustice. In fact, it was atrocious. Why should I forgive that? Is that okay? Should I forgive that? When am I ready to forgive? And how do I do it? So those are the important questions that we need to address and get comfortable with in order to really embrace forgiveness as one of our important life tools and our pathway towards healing and full recovery. So let's start with what it isn't, because there's a lot of agreement about what it isn't, and all the research, everyone is coming up with the same ideas about, well, we know it's not that. It's not forgetting. It's not excusing someone's bad behavior and pardoning them just carte blanche. It's not condoning bad behavior. It's not making up, reconciling with the other person. it's not giving up on what is right and what you want and need in your life. It's not going back for more abuse. It's not saying that something is okay if it isn't. We're not saying that. When we forgive someone, we're not saying what they did was okay in any way. We're saying, even though this terrible, awful, not okay thing happened, I am going to get over it. That's what forgiveness is. I am going to get over this terrible thing. I'm doing this for myself. It's not getting justice. It's always nice when you can get justice. That's really great. You can't always. You're not always able to get social justice in the time period that you wish to get it. And that's okay. You can heal. You can be free of it regardless. So here's the definition that I've been working with, which I inherited from a very smart woman, Dr. Edith Stauffer, who was a psychologist for 45 years and a very spiritual lady too. And she developed this idea. Forgiveness is the refreshing and healing experience of releasing an expectation that is causing you to suffer. I'll say that again. Forgiveness is an experience, a refreshing and healing experience of letting go, releasing an expectation that is causing me to suffer. Because in fact, we cannot control a lot of things in life and a lot of things that people do, but we can choose and hold the attitudes that we determine to choose and hold about self and others and life. So we have to let go of expectations of others that are not reasonable, or this already happened. You can't just keep whining about it. We need to just, okay, let's let that go. How do we do that? That's what the 8 steps are for. Further defining it, it's the refreshing experience of letting go of a weight. You know, when you're carrying resentments, you really feel like you weigh 100 extra pounds. You feel that weight in your heart, in your belly, in your head, in your nervous system. And the classic experience of coming out of a piece of forgiveness work is I'll ask the person, so how do you feel? And they'll say lighter. People say lighter. And I'll say, well, where do you feel lighter? I feel lighter here. I feel lighter all over. You can identify physically where that block has cleared and you feel lighter. Forgiveness is also dissolving an attachment to something, to old debts, old demands, old conditions, and releasing yourself into a new flow of energy and love, of life as it is and people as they are. So why should I forgive something that is wrong? So you can be healthy, you can be happy, you can be sober, you can be free. That's why. So you can turn your wounds into your wisdom, and you can move forward from your bad story or stories into better ones, that you will no longer be defined by this negative story that you experienced. So you can gain new boundaries and soulful strength and understanding. And that's step 4 in the 8 steps process. We reestablish new and good boundaries, and we really go forth and feel them, and the world responds to us in a different way because we have adjusted and healed our formerly unhealthy boundary. So when are you ready? When are you ready? Maybe you've been carrying something around for a year or 10 years or since you were 10 years old. People carry things for a long, long time. And it doesn't really matter how long you've carried it. The process of healing is the same, and that it doesn't take any longer. It still moves right along once you're ready. So when are you ready? When you're tired of your story, when you can identify your feelings about the story and share them with another person. Like, I'm so brokenhearted. I'm so sad. I'm so angry. I could kill. These are all feelings, emotional truths, and you can identify them and share them. We need to look at, well, what did I decide? What belief did I take on about myself and life and others and other men, women, or people in my family or whatever? What did I decide because of this wound? So for instance, when I forgave my father, who was very drunk until I was 15 years old, one of the things I realized I decided was that, well, because my daddy never wanted to spend time with me, because his attention was elsewhere, he was dissociated, he was a vet from World War II, he was checked out, and I'm like, daddy, daddy, look, look, you know, trying to engage with him and trying to understand who I am as a little girl and through my daddy's eyes. So I made a conclusion that, well, I must not be a very interesting kid, or there must be something wrong with me that my dad is not present to me. So as kids, we make all sorts of decisions about self and others and life because no one is helping us sort ourselves out and get the truth. And we carry those for a long time and we recreate negative situations from those beliefs. So it's very helpful to notice when you're ready, like, wow, this happened and I feel this way and this is what I decided and I want to change that. So you gain insight about these life decisions. You're ready to forgive when you know what it is and how it happens, just like driving a car. What is it? How do I do it? What are the steps? That's when you can get started. It's not just like, okay, forgive and forget. We've already said that doesn't work. There's specific things you can do that will take you through the story and out the other side. So when you trust and understand the process and the experience of forgiveness, then you're ready to go for it. Like, oh boy, I want to put that story down. I want to feel better. And this is what the workshop experience is for. This is what I've noticed when people come into my weekend forgiveness workshop. A lot of them are like, I don't know. I don't know how this could possibly work for me. I don't know. But then I demonstrate it with one person who has volunteered, and they watch someone go from that caved in shadowed self to a full blown rose, you know, in 40 minutes in front of their eyes. And you can see the whole person's, their posture changes, their energy changes. They're laughing, they're released, they feel lighter. When you see that happen, and I've seen that happen now thousands of times, it gets you so excited about healing. It gets you so excited about, wow, maybe I can get over this. Maybe I can loosen up and be my best, funny, free, you know, powerful little self that's inside there all curled up. Let me let her out. So you need to kind of see it or experience it a little bit before you go, ah, yes. You need to be open to the higher power and or a spiritual source and the healing energy that it can bring to us, that it will bring to us if we open up to it, and to let another person help you. If you got a big story, you should let another person help you. Let your therapist, your sponsor, me, somebody who has, you know, taken in this forgiveness process and can sit with you and bear the feelings with you and reach for that spiritual energy with you. That's all gonna make it happen. So now I'm gonna encourage those of you, as I talk about the 8 steps briefly, really my favorite thing is to talk about them in a whole weekend workshop. And as I said before, I hope you'll come and experience that in October. Or you can read my book, Unconditional Forgiveness. Each step has a whole chapter in it and pictures and makes it really clear. So don't go scrambling and like taking notes desperately as I talk about this, because you don't have to. You can just get on my website and print this out. You can print out the 8 steps of forgiveness. You can watch a little video about them, etc. So just try and see it with in pictures in your mind right now, okay? So how does it happen? How do those 8 steps happen? This was figured out by my teacher in her 45 years of therapy. She saw, this seems to be people who are healing have to go through these different milestones. They have to do these different, specific, different things. And if you do all those things, woo, it heals. It leaves your system. So it looks like this. we're going to decide. I'm going to use my will to say, okay, I've had enough. I am moving forward. I am going to let this go. I will forgive my ex now, this month. I will get over it. I will forgive my ex. I will forgive my mother at last. I've talked about her in therapy for 15 years, but now I'm going to be done with that. I'm going to release and forgive my mother at last. Okay. So I decide. And then I'm going to release my emotions about what happened. And in this, our process, we have an empty chair in front of us. We don't put the actual person in the chair. That doesn't usually go very well. You pretend the person is sitting in the chair and you let them have it. You know, I'm so angry at you. I'm heartbroken. I am so sad because, and you're letting out those feelings. Maybe you're crying. Maybe you're tearing up a piece of paper. You're really letting them out the way that they are inside you. And that usually takes about 20 minutes. It doesn't take forever. It doesn't take 3 weeks. You don't get depressed and stuck for 3 weeks. You just really let it out. It takes about 20 minutes. And then you feel this sense of movement inside, like, okay, now what? Oh, well, now I'm going to release those expectations. How do I do that? I'm going to say, you know, I really wished this had happened. I prefer this had happened, but it didn't. And I'm going to let this go. So I released my expectation that my dad would have paid wonderful attention to me each day after school. I release my expectation that I was taught certain life skills that I was missing, et cetera. You're going to let each one go. And there's kind of a process of just feeling something inside you just unclenching, uncurling, opening up, letting it go. You break it into pieces and you do each one. Step four, we're going to get our boundaries back. We're going to visualize our healthy personal space like a beautiful bubble of light around us. Just me and there, me and my energy and my thoughts and feelings and values. And I'm going to give that other person full responsibility for what they did. So, you know, I wished for all these things, but I'm releasing them. And I give you full responsibility for your behaviors and your actions and non-actions that caused harm. I give you responsibility for that. It's almost like turning someone over to their karma or to their higher power to teach them and help them with it. And you're not going to think about it anymore. And then we're going to open up to life anew. We're going to open up to spirit, to higher power, to life in a new way. And just really imagine we are establishing a whole new channel of connection and saying, you know what? I'm opening up to get what I need from you. I trust you to give me what I need. And it's a wonderful moment. People really feel like they're starting a fresh relationship with that spiritual source. And we're no longer looking towards this other person to give us stuff that they can't. And that stuff that we need, but they can't give it to us. And then we're going to imagine or visualize, sense, open up to bringing spiritual energy down from a space over the top of our head, down through the crown of our head and into all of the centers in our body, into our feelings, into our minds, to our hearts, into our subtle energy system, our chakras and meridians. We're bringing a new energy to bear to clean and cleanse and release this old debris that we've had inside us. And then when we're feeling kind of empty and full at the same time, we're going to send some of that blessing out to them. We're going to send some light and love out to the person you're forgiving and let them go and tell them, I send you this goodwill, and I release you to your path. There's different words we use depending on the situation. And we just let them go. And then we take a moment to sit and imagine God's light shining on them. And what can we see is good about this person? Or what can we see is good about what I have learned in this journey with this person, even though it was difficult? And we are entitled to dislike anyone we want to for the rest of our lives. We don't have to like everybody. We don't have to hang out with everybody. But we need for our own freedom to see the good and to let them have their place on earth for some reason, the higher power thinks they can be here. So we have to just allow them to be here too, without impacting us in the same way anymore. We see the good. So it's like that. It's kind of like a shower, like a cleansing of spiritual energy, light and love through our system that happens because we did those earlier steps. We got ready, we decided, we got our feelings out with support. We named each of the problem things and turned it into an expectation that we could let go of. We reestablished our boundaries. We opened up to spirit to help us in the future. And we sent, we brought the light and love into our system and then out to them and then saw the good. That's how it goes. And this could happen, you know, over 2 months period of time, or it could happen over 2 hours period of time. You can like focus and do it, like make your little list and say, you know what, this month I'm forgiving so-and-so, and you focus and do it. Or you could say, oh, I see how forgiveness happens. Okay, well, you know what, this year I am gonna get good with my mother. I'm gonna, you know, over the course of the year, I'm gonna make my way through these steps and resolve that relationship. So it doesn't matter, you know, if it's a short focus session or if it's a longer process, these steps are always reliable. And if you miss one of them, I found that if I do 6 of the 8 steps, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. If I do 7 of them, it almost works. If I do 8 of them, it always works. It's kind of uncanny that way. So I've gotten kind of zealous about how practical and reliable it is when once you know how to heal and you set about doing it, that you can do it. So anyway, as I said, you don't need to scribble or try and cram this in, but because there's plenty of information on my site, you can just print out and think about it or read about it or come to experience it at the weekend workshop. But we will, I'm going to just, the next 10 minutes, I'm going to give you 4 tiny examples of how forgiving made me free. Tiny little stories, 1, 2, 3, 4. And while I'm doing that, if you have any questions you want to put in on the chat, please take the time to put them in. And then our helpers at Women in Recovery will pick some of the questions and we'll tackle those. And in about 20 minutes, we'll break into groups of 2. So, sip of water time. I hope I'm not talking too fast. It's a lot I want to get out. But as I said, as we started the meeting, my hope is that each one of you will get a sip of this energy, a glimpse of the feeling of freedom that's courting you, that each one of you will hear the one golden nugget and what I'm saying that is for you. And you go, oh, yes, I love that thought. And I'm going to really take that somewhere. I'm going to make that real. So you only need one golden nugget when you're in any kind of a seminar, and make it real, and it's all worth it. So here's my examples. 1, I had a terrible neighbor, terrible, odious, despicable, awful next door neighbor, lives about this close to me. The houses are so close together. And this neighbor, let's see, I've been living here for 34 years. This neighbor will not speak to me, will not say hello, will not say, good morning, Mary. You know, and I was raised Irish in an Irish neighborhood with lots of cousins and friends. And it's just like a sin to not be friendly. You have to be friendly, of course, that we're all friendly. This neighbor was not friendly. In fact, she was so unfriendly that at one point she allowed my car to be towed from in front of the house during the snow emergency, instead of ringing my bell and saying, Mary, Mary, move your car, like any good neighbor would. That's when I almost, I could really visualize hurting her very badly, but I didn't. I came in the house and I did a piece of rage. Oh my goodness. I did kill her 100 times over in this little session I had with myself. Eventually I realized, oh, you know, she's just not friendly. In fact, maybe there's something wrong. Maybe she's antisocial. Maybe she has a disorder. I don't know. I've been trying to make friends with this woman for 5 years. And so I released all expectations my neighbor would ever be nice. And spent the next 25 years passing peacefully. We go out to our cars the same minute. And I don't go, "Hi, Angie," because she never says hi back. I don't think she doesn't want to be said hi to. So I just go peacefully by her, like I go by the tree, the fence, the squirrel. It's like, okay, there she is. Fine. And I say hi to my nice neighbor. "Hi, Nancy." I don't say hi to her because it's not appropriate. It's not realistic. So I have lived in peace next to my little troll. I think of her as a troll, like in fairy tales. And you know how they're kind of grumpy and stump along with kind of a scowl on their face. I just think of her as kind of this dear troll that lives next door, and I don't expect them to be friendly or nice anymore. So that gave me freedom to like not be upset every time she gave me the cold shoulder. I don't expect it anymore. Story two. I told you about my dad. Biggest, worst, heartbreaking, difficult relationship of my life with my alcoholic dad. I was so full of hate and sorrow and loathing by the time I was in my early 20s in that relationship that I was the person you hoped didn't come home for Thanksgiving because everybody got tense in the room. If I was in the room with Dad, you could really cut it with a knife. So over the course of 5 years in three big sessions, one year and a half later, another 1 year and a half later, because, you know, healing comes up in layers as you realize things, as you remember things and know things. I forgave him for not being present all my life because he was drunk. I had to forgive him because he had been inappropriate with me when he was in a blackout and sexually inappropriate with his 7-year-old daughter. And it caused me to have intense shame, intense rage and shame. And that he didn't protect me from further harm because he wasn't aware. He wasn't aware of me. So he didn't teach me how to avoid further danger from not safe people. So I got hurt again. So I had so much. But after each session, which I did with my teacher, Edith, and there was a lot of crying and wailing, I'll tell you that, and a lot of raging and whatever. But after each one, I was able to see him better as the lovely guy he is. And I was able to see that it wasn't about me. It wasn't my fault. And I was able each time then to find more common ground with him and to go home and be able to take a walk together or watch the basketball game together or do something together that allowed me to share with him. And when he died, I was good. I was at so much peace when he died. I really treasure that. So that's a big story. Two more little ones. The pandemic. Okay, lots to let go there, right? I had to release my expectation I could be teaching groups in person. All my groups canceled. I did some Zoom things. That's nice, but it wasn't as nice as what I was thinking. I had to really let go of those expectations. And then I had some really great experiences on Zoom that worked out. The uprising in my neighborhood, I live right in the neighborhood where George Floyd was murdered. And many things that I daily would see were burnt. Just my two favorite restaurants were burnt. I had to let go of the expectation that they would be there. And now when I drive by, I don't go, "Oh," I go, And I have found a different favorite restaurant. And as I began to reflect on all the things about racism that I did not know I was doing, I did not know about my microaggressions until I began listening to the pain of BIPOC people about ways that I acted unknowingly. I had to forgive myself for being unknowing, for not knowing better. I had to seek my peace with, you know, that I knew as much as I knew then, and now I know more. Now I do better. When we know better, we do better. So life continues into the future. We'll be dealing with climate change. We'll be dealing with all these issues till the day we die. There'll be a need for us to let go and let go and let go at different times. And forgiveness is always going to help us do it. So let us see if anyone has any questions to put forth.
Thank you, Mary. That was wonderful. There are a few questions here in the chat. The first one is in regards to self-forgiveness, which I know that Mary will be talking specifically about self-forgiveness towards the end of tonight's presentation. The next question is, how or why do you integrate your traits?
Integrate the traits of dysfunction, are you talking about? Or
I'm not sure.
The laundry list traits.
Laundry list traits, yeah. I think self-forgiveness and that are right there together. Self-forgiveness is super important. It's central. It's difficult. It's simple, but difficult. You have to be ready for it. And you have to be determined to learn to see yourself with love no matter what. So we forgive ourselves for ways that we have caused train wrecks in our life because of our traits. And every single trait has a front and a back side. Every single one has its gift and its curse. And the more we forgive ourselves our messes, the more the traits just kind of settle down and flower into their better aspect, into the better expression of them. So I think one of the things we discover is that our life has shaped us. And as we heal our lives, we're going to retain some of the shape that our damage brought us to. But it won't be ugly and it won't be hurtful anymore. It's like, yep, I've always a little bit like this, and that's me. And I came by that honestly, and okay, oh well. And the more we can just accept our own limitations and weaknesses and excesses, the more we're able to work with them consciously and not defensively or not in denial about it. So that's what I got on that.
Thank you, Mary. The next question is asking, is it best to do these forgiveness steps yourself or with another person who could help move you along?
Yeah, I think it's best to get started learning about it and practicing it on small things. It's like anything, like learning how to ride a bike. You know, you're not gonna head off into the highway when you still have training wheels and you have never been on a bike. You are going to start small. So can you find stress relief by releasing your expectation around the weather, the traffic jam, the way the waitress in the restaurant treated you instead of the way you think you should have been treated. So there's plenty of things to practice on in daily life where we thought, you know, I really wanted that. I'm not going to think about that all day long. Okay, I release my expectation that I would have gotten here on time instead of 10 minutes late. Was it my fault? Would have preferred to get here on time, but I couldn't. I released my expectation that I would have got here in time. When you start practicing all the 8 steps, after a while, they're very native. It kind of rolls through like an organic sort of muscle understanding that you develop. So you start to see, I'm about to have a really unrealistic expectation of this situation. And later on, I'm going to be resentful. So let's just stop right now and do preemptive forgiveness. Let's get realistic about this situation and let go of what I would have preferred. Let it go and be able to love the situation the way it is. Then to do your harder issues, it's better to have another person. It's if to to forgive siblings, parents, exes, yourself, your worst moments. It's really helpful to be with another person who understands this process, because A, they can bring compassion to you while you're having the emotions, and B, they can help you amplify the spiritual energy that wants to come through. So in the Christian tradition, they say Jesus said, when two or more are gathered here, I am there. What that means, I think, is when two or more humans come together with an intention for love and healing, it's stronger than if you're trying to do it by yourself. Mm-hmm. So I do lots of forgiveness on my own because I have the muscles and I can go there, but I still don't like it. I still think like, I just want to hate that person. I love to hate. Ugh. But I know it's not good for me, you know? So I finally bring myself to it. It takes about 20 minutes. Why didn't I do it last week? Oh, well, okay, I do that. But if I'm dealing with a bigger issue, a deeper issue, like the one I described about my dad or other bad stories I've had, I have one of my co-teachers sit with me. And it's not that I don't know the steps, it's that I want that extra compassion and energy and caring for me and that access to spirit with someone else who has a good access to spirit. So start anywhere on your own. And then when you identify, wow, this is the one that's really going to set me free. If I can take care of this story, get someone to help you and get them educated around these steps too, so you can do it together.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. We got about five more minutes left, I think.
Yeah. We have another question. Flows right perfectly with what you just described. After the eight steps, does it creep back again over time?
No. Isn't that great? It does not. That is the best part about this. It does not. It's a transformative process, not an adaptive one. So if you think about it this way, if you had like a log of wood you put in the fireplace and burned it up, fire is transformational. Burned it up, you got ashes, right? When you wake up the next morning and you go to the fireplace, is the log there? No, it's still ashes. If you go there next week and you look, did the log come back? No, it's still ashes. This process dissolves the issue from the inside out. It absolutely dissolves it, so it's not there. It's not in your heart, it's not in your belly, it's not in your forehead anymore. It's melted out of you. And what's replaced, it's replaced with the better part of you, more of your own soulful energy is what it replaces it. So now some issues are layered and some are complex. So like with my dad, you know, I did a great big fat forgiveness and I was done with that stuff. But then a year and a half later, some memories came up that were very upsetting. Oh, I did another great big fat forgiveness and I was done with that. And it went like that. So sometimes there's more to do. Sometimes I really don't see this not work, but the couple times it didn't work, it's because we didn't get to everything. We didn't get to the bottom of something that was important. We didn't get all the feelings out about a thing. And once we figured that out and we did it, whoop. It went, and it was the same kind of relief and clarity and emptiness. And I've been shown, a spirit showed me this when I first started teaching years ago, and I couldn't believe this woman had such a miraculous healing. I'm like, wow, could this be real? I don't know. But then I bumped into her a month later. She was good. I bumped into her 6 months later. She was good. I bumped into her a year later, she was good, it never came back, and her life just continued to unfold into new and better stories. Her best friend and her fiance had gotten together in an affair 1 week before their wedding, and she was losing weight and crying all day long and couldn't sleep, and she wanted to kill them both, and she did end up breaking up with both of them, you know, not being with them anymore. But she moved along. She went back to school. She started dating. She was completely at peace with it. So I feel like I've been shown, no, this is transformative. It dissolves. It does not come back next week. Of course, if you live with an offender, if you live with a person who's not healthy and they reoffend, you might have to do it again when they reoffend, and then the next time do it again. But each time it's lighter, there's less charge in it for you, and eventually you're laughing about it, like, oh God, that's what they do, you know. Okay, you'll have that. And it changed, you just change your attitude about it. And maybe you change your life about it. You put in some new boundaries with that person.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mary. Mm-hmm. There's one last question here. It says, when someone says, I'm sorry to you, and you question their sincerity, what do you say? Do you say, I forgive you, if you really don't? It seems false to say it's okay when it really isn't.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Well, first of all, forgiveness is not the same as reconciling. So they're trying to reconcile with you and get you to bless them with forgiveness so they feel better, perhaps. And you don't have to. I mean, you can say, sorry for what? Do you understand what you did? Do you understand how that affected me? What are you sorry for? And, you know, have kind of a deeper level conversation. And, you know, if they're a healthy person that you can actually talk with, you can let them know, well, here's the thing that was hard for me, you know, and I felt this way, and I wish that this had happened instead. But if you're truly sorry and you do it different next time, I release my expectation that we could have avoided this. But, you know, some people are not, I don't know. But I don't think you have to do something you feel like you don't want to, you know. You can nod and just contain your energy. I don't know. Thanks for saying that. But not like, oh, it's okay. It's not, you know. It's okay to say, who was I just working with somebody this week? I said, no, it's really important that you say to him, that was not good. That was not good for me. That hurt us. And if you really understand that, I'll try and let it go. But that's the last one you get, you know. So you don't need to soft pedal if people are treating you poorly. You explain it to them and don't take it again.
Thank you, Mary. Thank you.
There's so many things to say about it, right? I mean, I kind of feel like, oh, I wish I had said this and this and this too. But it's because it's such a rich and complex and, you know, human experience and need for us to understand. And for me, it's been kind of a lifelong path of trying to live it and with easy understanding.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, shall we move on to the next segment?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'll tell them the assignment, okay? And then the breakout dance. And this is where it works beautifully, you guys, or you forgive us, right? You release your expectations that it worked because we're all zooming along here. So we're going to just break into a group of two for 10 minutes for each of you to, like, just think out loud about what's the good thought I heard here? What's a thought that Mary said that is really kind of ringing in my head? And who am I aware of needing to forgive? Who am I aware of needing to forgive? And am I willing? And you're not going to tell the whole sorry story because we don't have time for that. But it'd be something like, well, you know, I like when she said this thing. And I know I need to forgive my brother. I do. I have to get over that. I need to forgive my brother. And I think I'm willing. I think I can do it. No, I don't want to. I just be honest about where you're at with that. Because it's okay if you're not willing yet. You can become willing to become willing. That's like a step in the right direction. So that's it. Is what's a good thought? Who do I need to forgive? And am I willing? 5 minutes each way. So look at the clock and make sure both people get their turn. Thank you. co-hosts. I'm going to excuse myself for a bathroom break. I'll be right back.
Well, Chris, are the breakout rooms being assigned now? We're just waiting. Yep, I guess so.
Oops. Like there are still some women who did not get assigned to rooms. Ladies, I'm sorry, but it's not allowing me to assign. I'm going to just put you, it's not letting me assign any more rooms. Oh, because you didn't join. Kelly, it looks like you didn't join. I moved you to room 3, but it said you didn't join. And Lynn, it says you, I assigned you to room 15, but it said you did not join. Do you not want to join a breakout room?
I'll pass on joining a breakout room, thanks.
Okay, thanks for letting me know because there's someone in your room that's waiting for you. So, okay, thank you.
This is Lori. I went to a room and nobody was there.
Okay.
But I'm okay if it, you know, I can wait. It's okay. I can wait until we come back.
Okay. Let's see if I can find you, Lori.
Okay, I'll go into room 19.
Okay. Nobody joined in room 19. Oh my goodness. Lonnie, did you want to join a room?
You know, we keep getting messages to go to our breakout room, but there's nobody there.
Okay, that's because I assigned you to a room and the other person didn't go. So I'm going to move you to another room where.
So is it how many people are supposed to be in the breakout room?
Only two.
Oh.
Oh.
So we were. Forgiveness exercise. And then when we go to the breakout room, what's the exercise?
Just to talk about whether or not an area of forgiveness for you has come up as a result of the presentation tonight.
Oh, okay. We'll see if we can do this.
All right.
There's Megan.
Hiding in the corner. Yeah. All right. Let me see. not everyone chose to join a breakout room.
Okay.
So what happened is that there were some women who went to their breakout room, but no one else showed up.
Oh.
And they would come back out, and it's okay. It only happened a couple times. I was able to reassign people. So.
Oh, thank you for doing that, Judy.
That's why I gave it a little. I probably have given it a little more time, but that's okay. Some women joined a little later because of that. So
that's okay.
1 minute warning right now.
Okay, thank you.
Mary, you're muted, can't hear you.
Are you able to unmute yourself, Mary? Or do you want me to ask you to unmute?
I don't know what's going on.
I'm not sure. If you need to leave the meeting and then sign back into the Zoom, we can do that too.
Hi, Chris. Are we supposed to leave and then rejoin?
No, you guys can stay right where you are. You guys are doing great.
Okay.
We're helping Mary to get reestablished with her microphone and her PowerPoint presentation. So thank you. You ladies are doing great. Welcome back, everyone. Mary is trying to recenter herself, and we will pick up where we left off in just a few moments as we work through a couple of technical opportunities.
Oh, she's on mute.
Yes.
She seems to be having difficulty unmuting herself.
Yeah, I've pressed the ask to unmute.
Oh, how's it? Can you hear me? Okay. I got lost. I could not find myself. I could not find my pictures. I was just all alone for a minute, but I knew you guys were there somewhere. So
you were.
Are we back? Shall I lead us into our next and final glory for tonight?
Yes, please do.
Okay. All right. I'm going to, whoops. All right. Can you still hear me? Jesus. Can you still hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Yes. All right. So let's have everyone just settle our dust together and kind of settle into your space, your seat, yourself. You might even want to imagine this nice little bubble of light around you. That's just your energy, your space. Let's imagine all of us in a very wide, loving circle of women seated in a big circle. I kind of like to imagine that we're out on a beautiful day on a hillside with a tree in the middle, and that we have all come out here to be in this circle and raise our spiritual intentions together to be able to let go and forgive something, to let go of something that has troubled us for far too long. So as you sit there, in your mind's eye, imagine this source of healing light shining over your head, about a foot over your head, like a sun, like a steady sun. This, your particular aspect of higher power, is loving and wise and protective and with you through your whole journey, every moment until now. And in your higher power, that light over your head, you have other qualities that are your best stuff, your joy, your compassion, your faithfulness, your determination. So as you sit there in our circle, let's all of us imagine we are shining sunlight, shining light out from that sun over my head to everyone else here in the circle. We are extending peace, support, love, in such a way that it's almost like we're creating a beautiful field of light overhead, a canopy of light that's got all of our best energies assembled into a nice healing space. And that each one of us has our own little channel from the top of our head up into that light, that we can breathe down some love, and we can breathe up our intentions for letting go. A beautiful in-breath and out-breath between you, the woman sitting, and that light over your head and that field of light that we're all part of. And I want you to think about that one person that is on your list. It'd be good if you could make your peace with them. It'd be good if you could finally put that story to rest. Think of that one person. See their face. And imagine that without any effort, you can just let that picture of their face ascend upwards like a helium balloon into that space of light, into that space of unconditional love and healing and renewal. You can just really picture that person's face up there in the light, and you are calm and firm in your intentions, and you can say to Spirit, I will heal this story. I will let this go. I will get to the bottom of what's been bothering me and release it so that I can be free to be me and I can see that person or situation with a little shine of light on it and bless it and let it go. Bless it to be just what it was or is. So as we sit here all together, sharing our power and our determination and our light, just extending a silent wish that each woman here gets just what she needs in coming times for healing her story. That each woman can be led by her higher power, step by step, organically, gracefully, easily through this healing process to a completion, to neutrality and freedom. And Spirit, we give thanks for this opportunity to share our hearts and minds and energy with each other and to support each other in gaining a forgiveness experience in the near future that makes each one of us be more who we really are and who we really want to be. We release it into your hands, higher power, and we walk expectantly, openly, serenely into coming days and weeks as we discover how we can really grow beyond this issue. Breathing one final blessing, just like fresh air filtering down from above through the top of your head and filtering down into your physical body and your heart and your energy, just breathing in some fresh, clean, clear energy to reboot your recovery path first thing tomorrow morning, that you'll feel it. You'll feel the new space opening up. And as you're ready, you can open your eyes and I'll share a few more thoughts. A few more thoughts on that most important thing of all, self-forgiveness. Self-forgiveness is the healing experience of seeing ourselves the way the higher power sees us, perfect and whole, like a cherished child of the universe. To see ourselves with compassion and acceptance and patience, the way the higher power sees us, like we see a charming and precious two-year-old or a younger child trying to learn how to walk or trying to learn how to master something that's difficult. A cherished child trying to master the difficult human things. And what living the path of forgiveness creates for us, serenity, of course, accepting the things we cannot change, changing the things we can, recognizing the difference between those things is so much like forgiveness, releasing expectations that are causing us to suffer, opening up to loving life and others as it is, as they are. Living forgiveness creates a serene unity of self, the child within us, the adult we've become, our soul or higher power, the universe, spirit. We can imagine it kind of like this graphic. We, the grown woman, learning how to feel safe inside that sphere, spherical embrace of our soul, learning to cradle and cherish the child within us and holding her close to our hearts. And we, the little child, the grown woman, the eternal soul, also in the heart of the universe, the great self of all. Perfectly safe and whole and contained. As we continue to learn, as we continue to experiment and explore, but within this space of unity of self, personality and higher self and universe. And as we incorporate that sense of wholeness with the child held safely in our hearts, and the woman accepting and celebrating our unique self and the soul on a long journey in time, learning and experimenting and bringing service to others. And that great primordial field of light, some people call God, some people call the universe, our home. So this is what unconditional love and forgiveness gives us. It gives us our home in self, our home in life. That as we forgive our bad stories, we become less and less afraid. We become more and more able to move into better stories. So just take a moment to notice your state right now. Does anything feel any amount calmer or warmer or lighter? Do you feel any amount more peaceful, more hopeful? Any amount more connected to yourself and your higher power? Just notice what the fruits of this hour and a half are for you. And give thanks for any amount of healing that is happening tonight or starting tonight or coming in your future. Give thanks for that healing in advance. And I want to invite you next to consider taking this on, as I did so many years ago, a wonderful pathway of healing. And consider coming for a whole weekend where you get to really change something big and turn a corner, go to a new level, and drop the rock. And I hope that you'll consider coming in October to St. Paul. And if that doesn't work out, I hope you'll consider studying up a little bit, forgiveness training, or listening to my podcasts about forgiveness. There's lots of free and lively information in the podcasts about the forgiveness process and how to deal with anger and the importance of self-love. That's just there for you. It's called Rise and Thrive, riseandthriveshow.com. And if you are also aware that you're turning this big corner in life and you want to expand into the landscape around this forgiveness work, the self-mastery program starts in October. It's one weekend a month for 9 months, kind of like birth. And we do a lot of good stuff around self-love and intuition, boundaries, vital energy, living purposefully. So I share that with you because I hope to see you again and take this the next place down the road. And my co-hosts and Women in Recovery, I don't know how to find you again. I'm just looking at my PowerPoint. I don't know where I am or where you all are. If anyone can see how I get back, tell me. Otherwise, we'll just remember what I look like. Say goodnight.
Well, we can all see you, Mary.
And you can see me?
Yes, we
You're
can
You're kidding see me. You. I can't no. see any of you. Okay, no. How do I look? Am I doing good?
You yeah. look great. You look okay. beautiful. Can you try to stop sharing your screen and maybe you can see us?
Well, I got nothing. I got nothing but PowerPoint. What if I do it? Escape. Okay. Do I use this stop sharing?
I always hit escape. Yeah.
Escape.
Escape.
Yeah.
Escape.
I'm trying to escape this.
Well, we see you. And we see you. Yeah.
Okay. Well, all right then. Love you. And I'm glad you showed up. And thank you for listening to me talk so much. And I just wish everyone the best. Mm-hmm. And hope that our paths will cross again in person, where I can hug you and you can buy my book and I can sign it and all that fun. Okay. But meanwhile, all the best to everybody in your journey. It's going to be good.
Thank you so much, Mary. We are just so grateful for your sharing this valuable tool with us. A recording of tonight's presentation, along with a link to access Mary's information on her forgiveness workshop,
will be posted on Women in Recovery's website and Facebook page. We have provided links to that information in the chat window. However, if you miss them, please do come to our website and Facebook page. Women in Recovery's monthly speaker presentations